and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast. This is your Easter weekend extravaganza. All weather racing on Good Friday, of course, all weather finals day. And on top of that, we have some flat and some jump racing to cover on Saturday, running through 17 races that are being showed by ITV over the 2 days. And I get to do this in the company of Daryl Carter and Dan Barber. Quick check in, Daryl. How many Easter eggs have you got? Five? Six?
Not left. Of animal. Yeah, massive weekend of racing. 172 races there is in Britain and Ireland between Friday and Monday. Outrageous stuff.
Absolutely outrageous indeed. But we'll enjoy it, won't we, Daniel? How are you? How are the kids buzzing for Easter?
Yeah, grand. They've been very well behaved and not scoffing all the eggs straight away. I mean, I obviously spent quite a bit of time a few weeks ago sending out very expensive eggs to various random strangers. I don't know if you got one.
I wish it was from you. That would make sense because that's like better the end. But what better the devil you know? It's like you're a weirdo. Yeah. But I know you.
Whereas instead, I'm a known weirdo. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a known weirdo. Those are not dangerous. It's the unknown weirdos. They're the dangers. By the way, front runner for that egg is currently my next door neighbour, who got done recently for drug driving. So I think he's like, you know, a bit of a kooky sort.
We'll have to get Barry to put a market up for it.
Market. Yeah.
But in short, I feel like I've been in a washing machine just prepping for this.
Okay. Right, before we go any further, obviously super busy weekend of racing, as we've discussed, but don't forget, we want you to enjoy this weekend, but we want you to do it responsibly. We want you to gamble responsibly. And as a result, we are pushing that you should be using Betfair's safer gambling tools because they're easy to find. They're easy to apply. You can set deposit and loss limits. You can use the simple profit and loss tracker, and you can set time checks for your gaming as well. Loads of Betfair users already use the safer gambling tools, and they're so easy to find and apply that why wouldn't you? So please do that, because then you can just have fun with it. And that's what we want you to do. And that is what we're going to do on this show, lads. We are kicking off up at Newcastle for all weather finals day up there. And the first race to be shown on ITV is the All Weather Championships Marathon. Of course, we're missing. So we start with the 153. So it's the marathon handicap over 2 miles and half a furlong. This is going to be fast paced. We've got a lot to get through, guys. So Spartan Army is your 5-2 favorite. Max Vega is 5-1. And Palace Boy is 5-1 as well. You can kick things off, Daryl. Take it away. Spartan Army for the four-timer.
He's a bit short in the market. There's four places on the Betfair Sportsbook here for this opening contest on ITV. So I wanted to get involved in this. I'm slightly torn between two. I like Vague Royale. I actually like two that finished behind Spartan Army last time at Lingfield. Vaguely Royale and Pryden. Vaguely Royale, first of all, saw out the trip first time up to 2 miles well at Lingfield. Cheek pieces on there for the first time, seemed to help him. He was very keen last year, a bit green in front on a couple of occasions, but he's got the right profile. He's improving with every single run. And in stall one, I think Oshie Murphy, unlike at Lingfield, he's going to be able to get in really promptly. And he's a horse that just keeps rolling. And I don't think he's got much of a turn of foot, but he's got a high cruising speed. 2-4 in the all weather. I think he's going to go well, but I think he's probably priced correctly at 7-1. Pryden is got to be overpriced at 12-1 on the sportsbook here. He is drawn in stall 11, but he did remarkably well at Lingfield. He came from a wide draw there, circled the field at the wrong time, or circled to make his challenge at the wrong time on that home bend, forced 4 or 5 wide into the home straight. Spartan Army had a lovely seam through, but he really kept on strongly right to the line. If you read the Racing Post comments, it says Spartan Army was always doing enough. I don't believe that's true. I think that he was clinging on from Pryden. Now, you can go back to some of his form last year, particularly at Newmarket behind the likes of Live Your Dream, who went on to subsequently finish third in the Ebor, and say he's got strong claims, even off a mark of 99. He's got to be an each-way player with a full place on the sports, but I think Pryden is the overpriced horse in the race, but I will be having a little something on Vaguely Royale as well, because he's improving.
Okay, two horses away from the favourite then, and as you've already said and rightly said, this is an extra place race and there's plenty of them up at Newcastle. What about you, Dan, with the stairs?
Yeah, I do like this. It's a proper thinking puzzle, isn't it? As Daryl said, you've got so many intertwined form lines from the lead-up races to this that have enabled these horses to qualify. That's going to be a theme that runs throughout the podcast, really, isn't it, for the Good Friday stuff. I'd probably want Spartan Army to go at 7-2. I was actually the belief that he just kept doing enough, but that doesn't mean he should be at the moment the fraction of the price that he is compared to Pridwin. That's the way I read it anyway. I never know what to make of those wide draws on the round course at Newcastle. On the sprint track, you're not that bothered, are you? You can get up the near side rail. It can be a blessing, but he'll be held up anyway. You might need a bit of luck, but he really just got to do enough to get into the four to make it feel like a pretty sound bet. So I'd be interesting Spartan Army if a few more opposed him and I could get a bit of 7-2, because I do think he's a fast improver who gallops like Newcastle will suit him better than Linkfield. But yeah, I agree with Daryl. I think Pridwin was the most overpriced, certainly from an each-way perspective. He's a horse that's just improved and improved for about 3 years in a row.
Yeah, okay. Well, currently 12-1, so both of you landing on him. Let's move on to the three-year-old championship handicap over the 6 furlongs. Again, an extra place race here with Betfair. And you've got 11 going to post. Fire Demon is your 3-1 favourite for Andrew Balding. Dan, we'll start with you here, who had such a good all-weather finals day last year, wasn't it? This is a day that he's managed to target quite well. Can he go in again here? This is a wide open heat, this.
Yeah, it really is. Thriving sprinters. Now, I say sprinters, Basball improved for 7 furlongs before Christmas at Linkfield in a nursery, and then hiked in Grey, like totally different ask of him at Newcastle last time. I thought he acquitted himself really well. And I know it was 6 and he got going a bit too late after missing the break, but he might just sharpen up a bit mentally for that, being involved in a proper race. And I don't know if Daryl agrees. I'm hoping there's enough pace knocking around with G'day Mate, Tarsus maybe. There's a handful anyway that I'd expect to ensure a good gallop. And I can just see it suiting him really, really well. No Holly this time, but Andrew Breslin's claiming 3. And the hope is that he breaks a bit more sharply and there's a bit of a pace collapse, because I thought it was such an eye-catching late burst that he mustered when he was behind Blueprints in another race, which again ties in very strongly with this one.
So it's Basball 10-1 for Dan. Can I gently correct you? She's a filly, right?
Yeah, it's the Bas parts throwing me there, isn't it?
I thought so. I did think...
Given Basball relates to the male cricket team.
And I knew you already knew that. So yeah, it's just the Baz. The Baz is throwing.
I don't care if it's a he or a she. As long as you finish faster than the other ones and it wins, well, I'm not bothered.
That's very true.
Actually, that's a very valid point. Let's move on. Daryl.
Yeah, we've come down on the same one. I thought Basball was overpriced. Yeah, I was, again, similar to the first race, I was a little bit sort of very much respectant of Blueprints, but also couldn't get my head around why Basball was such a big price. Now, the slight concern with her is that she's been off for 88 days after that good run here at Newcastle. Now, Dan's just touched on it quickly there, but in January, she came from an impossible position, really. Had to switch wide, going down the centre of the track when you wanted to be on the towards the stand side rail. Really finished with a flurry. That seemed to sort of go unnoticed, and it was all about sort of Blueprints, who's gone on to run really well the next twice. But I think there's more to come from this filly. She's definitely better than the mark of 78. Andrew Breslin claims 3 off, was getting 7 from Blueprints that day in January, now gets 16 from him. So, like, the weight swing is very significant. Like I said, the 88 days off just does slightly concern me, because I don't know if Clifford Lee knows that she's going to need the run and he's chosen to stick with Media Shooter or not. That's a slight concern, but I would be willing to take a chance at a double-figure price that Basball was better than a mark of 78.
Okay, the two lads again agreeing. God, this is a very sort of harmonious pod, isn't it? On we go to the 3 o'clock, which is the Fillies and Mares and Championship Handicap over the 7 furlongs. And William Haggart's really interesting horse in here with this 9/10. And I suppose more intriguing, Daryl, that Jack Enright gets the ride, claiming the 7, 9-4, top of the market. Jack has won on this filly before, so it obviously makes sense to put him back on. But it's a decent opportunity for him on terrestrial television.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was Jack Enright's only winner for William Haggart. He's one for 13 years. So look, he's a decent rider. The £7 claim is massive here, really, because the swing at the weights that 9/10 has now got with Shades of Summer, it was given her £20 at Newcastle back in January. Now gives her 5, thanks to the claimer. So look, a massive turnaround at the weights. There was only 3/4 of length between them that day. She 9/10 could have done with a bit of a stronger gallop to aim at, but she's an improving filly. Kept going through this, and I just kept coming back to 9/10 being the horse on the upgrade, and that all-important claim is what could ultimately make the difference here. Amaromis Gray is probably a solid proposition each way, but getting a little bit frustrated with her now. She keeps knocking on the door.
Keeps looking like she's going to win, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. I was going through, like she was giving shade to some of £16, and then she was giving her £11, getting a little bit close. Now she's got to give her £7. She's gonna come good at some point. I'll be surprised if it's against 9/10 today.
Daryl confident then about the 9-4 favourite in 9/10, and she is very clear cut favourite in this. Dan, do you share the market and Daryl's confidence here?
Yeah, that's why I was chuckling to myself because we agree again. Like. I mean, we honestly haven't conferred. Like in Countdown, where they have to show the piece of paper to prove that they're not copying off each other.
You know, my mum and dad were really friendly with Richard Whiteley back in the day. So Countdown was our favourite show.
Our beloved Brendan Duke is an absolute devotee of the game, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I should tell him that, actually. Maybe he'll listen to this and then he'll learn. Yeah,
Richard Whiteley had a horse called the Mare of Wet Wang, didn't he? Because she was a mare. And he was actually the mayor of Wet Wang, as in Mayor. Whatever that.
Love it.
That's a commentator's dream, isn't it?
Yeah. but in short, V, unless you've got a Richard Whiteley tale, you can.
No, I was just going to say that he dated my godmother for a long time, so we used to see a lot of him. He was a great character.
Did he travel around with a big clock and sort of. If you were talking for a bit too long, he'd turn. Oh, come on, man.
No, it's him doing the talking. Do you not?
Barry needs one of those, doesn't he? Barry needs one.
Last one. Do you not remember the headline, Twice Nightly Whiteley, after the kiss and tell job back in the 90s?
I didn't.
Look it up, guys. That was drama in our family. Right. Kick on. Do you have anything else to add? Otherwise, we're going to move on to the...
No, again, I'll just repeat Daryl's words. I couldn't believe Aramis Gray didn't go past that day at Wolves. I mean, just look, the race is set up for her. She's going to win. She didn't do it. And 9/10, just a big class angle, this. The £7 claim, record at Newcastle as well. She'd been here twice and won impressively. Then she missed that time. And then she was luckless to some extent when second the other day. So, yeah, I'm with her as well.
Okay, great. Class to the fore then with the fillies and mares. Let's move on. Sprint handicap time, the 3:35, Daryl. Over the 6 furlongs, and this is another of our extra place races. We've got a maximum field of 14, as you'd expect with the sprint, and as you'd expect with the 6 furlongs at Newcastle. High draws to the fore. Battle Dubai out of 9 is your 9-2 co-favourite with Cover Up out of 13. Al Bashir out of 8 is high enough, and Juan Lepan 7-1 had to get that bizarre qualifying run in over the 12 furlongs at Wolves when we last saw him. He's jumping out of stall 16. Coachella out of 4, and then it's all the lower draws at bigger prices. So the draw is a big angle here. Where did you land there?
Yeah, we're playing 4 places on this. You could probably give me 7 and I'd probably still struggle to be confident in saying to get in the first 7 right. Because you can make cases for loads of these. Look, Batal Dubai really massively caught the eye at Lingfield last time with his finishing effort behind Chipstead. He's surely going to make, he's really going to leave this mark well behind in due course, but he's rightfully at the top of the market, followed by Cover Up, who's a progressive sort. I thought Juan Lepans was interesting just on the basis that they just wanted to get that qualifying run into him last time. 6 furlongs straight track. He's got a great record. If you just look at his record in 6 furlong handicaps over a straight track. And I just think this could set up well for him, picking his way through with a strong finishing effort. So he was a tentative selection, but you can make a case for literally anything in here, right down to the likes of Aberama Gold. So, yeah, really tricky.
6 furlong sprints at Newcastle, whether it's an all-weather finals or not, you know, they're just, anything can happen, anything can win them, and high draws to the fore, there is that draw bias. So they're bloody tricky races. Good luck to you if you've got a strong opinion in there. Let's move on to the 4:10, 10 furlongs. It's the Easter Classic, the middle distance handicap. And Daryl, I better start with you here because you're oh so grand. Yeah, for Simon and Ed Crisford, Jack Mitchell in the saddle is your 3-1 favourite in here. And of course, it was you who was very confident on her for the Winter Oaks, wasn't it, Dan, at Lingfield?
Me and Dan, yeah. Both of us.
Oh, both of you, sorry.
Yeah, both of us agreed that day as well.
Vanessa shocked that I'd put up a winner given recent evidence.
That just never happens.
Yeah, we both agreed, and she absolutely dotted up that day, didn't she? She's definitely smart.
I wish it was Lingfield again, do you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. And to be honest, I wish it was against the fillies as well, and not in with the big boys here, because this is a really competitive handicap. Elegant Man is drawn in stall 14, which is probably not ideal. But I think if there's a group horse in there, I think it's him. He is a horse that's impressed me immensely in his three starts to date, particularly at Kempton when he came from off a mile from off the pace behind Rebel's Romance, who's obviously got an official rate of 120. I was getting £4 from him that day, and he finished right up his backside, and he was just being nudged out of the finish as well. Like, he had plenty more to give. He's got it all to do, really. Stall 14 against this lot off a mark of 108. It's almost an impossible task. But if he's as good as I think he could be, then he's probably going to be hitting the frame. And that's probably the angle I would take in here. Four places again in this race. I'd be surprised if he's out of the four, even off a big weight from a wide draw, to be honest.
By Dirt Hero Arrowgate as well. Love to see it up at Newcastle. 5-1, Elegant Man, very much the unexposed potential class, but he has got a tough task out of stall one, off top weight. Dan, is that enough to put you off?
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that I'm good friends with Martin and Chris, etc., the horse watchers, but I just absolutely adore this Penzance. I mean, it was the first time he won, and I texted them and just said, I think that's the best horse you've had. You know, just the way he went about it, everything was just so smooth. He did everything right. An amazingly willing attitude. You won't find him on a genuine horse, will you? He just responds whenever the jockey asks, and he did that in fine style at Linkfield, the race that qualified him for this. He's gunning for this massive bonus if he can become the most productive all-weather horse of the season. And so there's a lot riding on it, but just a fast improver who looks like he's destined for group company, I think, around a mile and a quarter. So I'm not willing to desert him. I get the feeling that if Penzance is in front, two furlongs out, maybe a furlong and a half out, and Oso Grand has a crack with that turn of pace, that Penzance still might be able to get himself out of the pickle and find a bit more than her up the stiff finish. So, yeah, massive fan of Penzance, and the role continues. Hopefully it's been a remarkable success story.
And I think I need to correct myself. So I just say that Elegant Man was jumping out of stall one. He's obviously jumping out of stall 14, if that's what I said. I fear that's what I said. Last race up at Newcastle for us, Daryl, is the 440. It's the Mile Handicap Championship race and all-weather specialist, really. Dear My Friend is your 11-4 market leader. Obviously did it here before and is back for more now and is in rare old form as well. He's up to a career-high mark of 113 and he's taking on Symbol of Light for Julie Camacho. Fast Raj in there over from France at 6-1. But, like, can anything beat Dear My Friend here in this sort of form?
Stiff old mark, isn't it? 1-1-1-3. He's been brilliant, isn't he? He's been brilliant this season. He's just thrived, and he's just, you know, he is practically a group horse still in a handicap here. I'm hoping, though, that the £15 turnaround for a Symbol of Light just might be enough to get him up on the line. This horse is going to come good sooner or later. He's been knocking on the door. Went close at Kempton, coming from well off a very steady gallop last time out. But he was beaten two lengths by Dear My Friend. Now, Dear My Friend done it very easily. You know, he was no match for him there. But I'm just hopeful of a bigger field here at £15 turnaround. I'm just hoping things just might fall Symbol of Light's way. He had to wait for a run that day. He didn't quite get the clearest of gaps. Now, he does need things to fall right for him, but I think if Dear My Friend doesn't win this, I think he's the most likely to capitalise. So I'm happy to take a chance at 11-2.
Okay. All right, then. We will leave Newcastle behind. Of course, the card running alongside that is down at Lingfield. Still a very high-class card. And the 205 is the first of the ITV races. This is really confusing, but now we're on to all-weather VARs, middle-distance handicaps, but it's not the same entries. So it's not a consolation race, but it kind of is. I don't really know, to be honest. Madness, but basically just got an all-weather extravaganza. 10 furlongs here for the middle-distance handicap. It's a class three, though. And Asgard's captain at 5-2 for Dylan Kuna and Reese Clutterbuck, Dan, is the favourite in here above Al Rufa in there at 4-1, bystander as well. But Asgard's captain here obviously just ran the 4 days ago under a penalty for the man, Dylan Kuna. Mm. Can he do it again? Can he notch up a four timer?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story, this bloke, isn't it? And he's showing himself to be a serious trainer as he was in South Africa, but pace collapse is my belief that they might be in this race. And Al Rufar, I mean, he's a frustrating customer. We know he is, but he looked so good when he won three starts back. It looked like he might be retain a good portion of his ability. Remember, he was a high class handicapper for Gosden and Al Shikab back in the day. Don't think things went his way at all at Lingfield. He got stuck wide two starts ago, but again, it was another hugely eye catching performance last time out. And he wants a strong pace. That's absolutely essential to him. But I think this is a horse in really good form at the minute. And I'd even be tempted with the fours each way, actually.
Okay, each way. And we have got an additional place here as well, courtesy of Betfair. So, yeah, that is interesting. Al Rufa then at 4-1 currently. Do you want to take on this favourite under the penalty off the quick turnaround as well, Daryl?
Yeah, I do. Al Rufa was second on my list, but I really quite like one in there, and it's Youthful King at 16s. This was a horse that was a bit of an enigma last year. When he won, like at Windsor, he looked like a bloody group horse, and then like he'd throw in a bit of a poor one here and there. But I think I was being a bit harsh on him because he was contested listed in the Group 3 companies either side of a 127-day break. He wasn't disgraced here at Lingfield behind Tyrrhenian Sea on his seasonal return. A little bit of a no-show over a mile and a half at Kempton last time, but Jesus Christ, enough caught the eye finishing well at Lingfield. He was drawn widest of all that day in stall 13, and he's normally a horse that goes forward, but they held on to him. He was a bit free at the rear of the field, but my goodness me, enough finished strong, like powerfully down that home straight. He's again been granted the widest draw of all in stall 14, but as Dan mentioned, I think there's a whole load of pace in here. So I'm hoping that's actually going to be a bit of a blessing in disguise and that they are going to hold him up again like they did 28 days ago. Ethan Jones is on claim 7 off his bat now, effectively putting him off a mark of 83. This is easier than what he's been used to contesting. And if he can get the gaps, I think he will be coming home very, very strongly. This is his ideal trip. He obviously goes well at this Lingfield course. I think he's got a really good chance of what would be a reduced mark under Ethan Jones. 16s is a massive play, but I understand he's probably that price because of his draw out in stall 14.
Okay, and each way with the extra places as well available. So very interesting, big price there. Let's move on to the 240, Daryl. It's over the mile, a handicap, and Sir Palace in here at 5-2 for Gary Moore. Another on a four-timer bid, but a different kettle of fish now, up in grade from class fives into a class three now. Got a wide draw as well, but he has shown himself to such good effect here at Lingfield. He's won here a few times. He's taking on Chincident at 13-2. Baldomero in there for the McAfee team at 7-1, but this Gary Moore horse under the penalty, is this a penalty horse you're with or against? Again here, same question.
I'd be against, really. Against just at the prices, the big step up in grade, class five to class three. It's not really the sort of angle I'd like to be backing up for horses dropping in grade, but Dingle is actually dropping from a class two to a class three here, and he goes very well at Lingfield. Again, it's that Dear My Friend form. He was beating three lengths in a better race than this last time. He's been knocking on the door. I think this is his track. I think he likes it here. He's on a fair mark of 84. I love Sean Levy in the saddle. Absolutely love him. I think he's top class. I don't think he gets near enough credit as he deserves. But yeah, it's that sort of Penzance Dear My Friend form line that I'll be following as he drops in grade, as opposed to the favourite who steps up in grade.
Okay, we have drawn a blank on the next race, guys, because both of you have signed out of the 3:15 at Lingfield, the marathon handicap. So we will bypass that and step on to the 3:50 at Lingfield over the 6 furlongs, the sprint handicap. And Daryl, it's still with you doing the heavy lifting here because Dan just checked himself out for half a fish. I'm just saying. Half a fee as Barry Orr would tell us, isn't it? go on, Daryl, we've got to keep the pace up here. Sprint handicap, you've got, again, a bit like that bloody Newcastle race, a whole host in here with a chance. Prince of Zender in there. How impressive up near the top of the market. Bosch as well for the Hannon team. And that man, Sean Levy. Who do you fancy in here?
Prince of Zender. I think this horse is a progressive horse back at 6 furlongs now. Did really well to win here at Lingfield back in January, coming from off the pace despite being interfered with and being a bit sort of bullied about. Finished very, very strongly under Ross Coakley. And then went out at Newcastle last night. I think Brandon Wilkie must have thought, Jesus Christ, I can't believe how much of a soft lead I've got. just literally just ran away with the contest. The Caltonian was back in second. He was a winner of three of his last five starts and only beaten three quarters of a length in amongst those as well. And has obviously gone on to chase home Azure Angel, who's another progressive horse. The fourth Rock Opera chased home Cover Up, who's in the big sprint over at Newcastle. It looks decent form to me, and this is a horse very much going the right way. So Prince of Zelda, four-year-old on the up, unexposed at six furlongs, course winner. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Right. God, I have no chance of guessing your naps, lads, today for this show, will I?
Right. Well, I've got views in 11 races. Darrell's got views in 16, so you've got 20. You've got all manner of combinations and possibilities.
Yeah, right. Dan, we'll bring you back in. We better
get
into your corn here. Let's go up to Musselburgh on Saturday. 150 is the first race ITV will be showing from Musselburgh, and it's a mile handicap and Individualism 7-4 top of the market, taking on Ice Max at 11-4 for the Carl Burke team. Berkshire Nugget in there for Andrew Balding at 5-1. Those are your top three. And of course, all these horses coming in here for their first starts off their break. We're going to have plenty of that over the coming weeks. Take it away, Dan.
Well, prior to Oh So Grand, I do remember another winner in the distant past. Finn's Charm of this race last season, where the angle we're looking at was likely to get an uncontested lead, blast out in front, looked a smart horse, a two-year-old. And you've got really similar profile horse who's admittedly a much shorter price now in Individualism, but a horse who has got a lot going for him. Time form, Paddock Report has described him as being all over a better three-year-old. He didn't win at two, but he ran four sound races in good company, and he just strikes me as, for the exact same connections, who won this race 12 months ago, that this would have been earmarked for him almost since they drew stumps at the end of last season. I'm a bit fearful of Ice Max because he looked good at Catterick, but God knows what the form was worth. He's been gelded, which might help because he was very headstrong on his final start, but without having been privy to what impact that operation has had on him, I thought the most solid option by some way was Individualism to give the connections a second win in the race in a row.
Darrell, are you hoping for the same level of sort of physical improvement out of him then here?
Yeah, absolutely. He's superbly bred as well. I learned last year not to take on Mark and Charlie Johnston horses in this particular race. He's going to be prime for this. You know that. They won it in 2022 with Spirit Catcher as well. I'm not going to be backing him by any means. 7-4, there's too many unknowns, but I expect an improvement from him. I expect he's going to bolt out and try and make all the running. Ice Max is a bit weird. Like, he looked unbelievably good twice at Carrick last year and then just didn't repeat it anywhere else. And I don't know, maybe the Gelden operation will help him out because he's definitely got ability in there, but Individualism for me.
Okay. He's like Vanessa. He's best in North Yorkshire, clearly. Is that right, Vanessa?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree.
Best in North Yorkshire, quite. They demand the best out of me in that area of the world, you see. Let's move on. Dan, we will come to you first here. 7 furlong handicap next, the 225 at Musselburgh. Poet Master shed his maiden tag here over the course and distance, lightly raced since, and is back for more now on a seasonal reappearance for Carl Burke. 11-4 at the top of the market, taking on Northern Express for Michael Dodds. Much more exposed individual. We know plenty more about him at 100-30. Guido, same rules apply, 9-2. Love de Vega in there, has done it here before for the Johnson Yard, 15-2, but the market seems to have latched on to this Poet Master once again, kind of going with potential rather than proven ability, Dan.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Four-year-old, impressive at Donny. At the back end, you always assume Donny back end, it's going to be testing ground, but it wasn't. He's yet to race under these sort of conditions. I don't know if that's something we can use to get him with, but I think stall nine is something. Immediately on the turn, inexperienced horse, that could be his undoing. And I know he's drawn only one inside, but try the Northern Express when your Easter's in a mess, as the Divine Comedy did not once sing. He's a really likeable horse, smashing record first time. Well, that's a difficulty to this race, isn't it? Only two of these have been in action, but we've got past form to go on first time out, and Northern Express has normally been ready to go, was touched off in this race in 2022, didn't run too badly at all in it last year. And a few of the stables reappear as lately have shown up well, so I'm hoping they just forward generally. So yeah, I was with Northern Express in this, even though it is a really, really competitive race.
Okay, Northern Express then currently 100-30 for Dan. What about you, Daryl?
Yeah, I think Poet Master could have a big season this year. I liked him from the moment I saw him last win at Musselburgh last year. Funnily enough, I didn't back him at Haydock when he won, and I backed him in a handicap at Haydock, and he absolutely bombed out, and I was absolutely disgusted with myself. But I did follow up with him at Doncaster. He's a horse I want to keep on side. I know Stall Nine's not ideal for him. Soft ground probably a slight unknown for him. He's a course winner here at Musselburgh though, and there's so much upside to him. I don't want to get in the habit of taking on horses with so much upside to them. So I'm sure Carl Burke will have him straight for this, and I think he'll take a bit of beat, and I think he'll go on to better things this year.
Okay, hope of plenty to come then from the market leader there. Let's stick with you, Daryl, for the sprint, please, over the 5 furlongs. And intriguing here because you've got the likes of Silky Wilky 9-4 top of the market taking on a vintage Claret's for Richard Fahey and just different profiles because obviously we've seen so much. Well, we've seen plenty of Silky Wilky over the winter. He's had plenty of racing. He's race fit, but of course he's delivered here at the track before. And then you've got a vintage Clarets who's here off the break but has known plenty of ability and can do it on heavy ground, soft ground. So a sort of different profile of horses clashing at the top of the market.
Yeah, and you're right to focus on them too because they were 1-2 in this race last year. Vintage Clara has got absolutely no run in the race either and was sort of sat on the bridle for a long, long time. There's not a lot between them, but I liked Glorious Angel. I liked what this horse did last week at Doncaster. I thought 6 furlongs stretched him, her stretched her. She was showed loads of speed out the gate, handled soft ground perfectly fine. Coming back to five today, I think will definitely suit. Beaten Vintage Claridge on a couple of occasions, better off at the weights under Brandon Wilkie claiming five, race fit. Looks like they're trying to strike with irons hot. So Glorious Angel at eights for me.
Okay, pretty big price, Glorious Angel for Grant Chewer. Grant Chewer would be one of my favourite trainers, I think, for a certain type of horse. Is that a fair comment, Dan?
Well, I don't know. It's your choice, isn't it? One of your favorite. That's a very subjective thing. But yeah, if the wider question is, do we rate or do I rate him? Yeah, I definitely do. I
That's the
really
wider
do.
question. It was just badly put.
Think of he's just trainers who have really progressive handicappers. That does for me. And I may be being stupid here, and Darryl maybe say I am because Silky Wilkie's form on all weather this season hasn't been near his best. But is he not just a chance? He is a better turf horse. He's got a good mark now. He's dropped in the weights for running on all weather. I've got the feeling he could just win with a degree of comfort if indeed it is just a case of he's been marking time on all weather. It doesn't suit him that well. He's had three runs. He's completely proven fit. And you've just got so many strong efforts. Second in the Dash last season, fifth in a Palace House, second in a York listed event. This is after winning this race from a mark of 99. Granted, he did run and win on all weather prior to winning this last season. So it might just be that his powers have waned, but
I'm pretty
in
sure I
fact.
saw a comment about him when he was going on turf, when he was moving from the all weather to turf last year, saying that he's a better
He's a
all
better
weather
all-weather
horse.
horse. I could be barking completely the wrong tree, but the kid Sam Fieldner used to ride him a lot as a 2-year-old in his early days he's on. And it's the fact he's 2 pound lower than when he won the race last season. So that was enough to swing me.
Okay, let's move on to the 3:35 at Musselburgh. It's the Queen's Cup. It's the Heritage Handicap over 50k up for grabs in a full field, thank God, of 14 going to post over a mile, 6 furlongs. Obviously, because it's the feature race, it does mean that Dan has signed himself out of this race. Daryl, it's up to you to take it away. The market looks like this. Chillingham at Bethel is 7-2. Sweet Fantasy is 9-2 for James Owen. Berkshire Rocco in there at 6-1. Your Kindness at 17-2. Those are your top four anyway. Really healthy betting heat this, so you can have a couple of darts if you need them.
No, I only want one. Four places though on a Betfair Sports, so if you do fancy a few darts. Metier for me, runner-up last year to
That's only
Wise.
needs one dart. Don't be two darts
Runner-up
into
to Wise Eagle last year off 94, but obviously was a Chester Cup winner off off 97. He's 101 here. Exactly the same prep, going to Sandown over hurdles, like he did last year when he pulled up. Was it in the Imperial Cup? Wasn't it?
Yeah, he hates hurdling more than I hate 17 race flat card on Friday card.
Exactly. But the good news is he loves the flat action. So pulled up in the Imperial Cup last year, came here, ran a blind, and finishing really strongly behind Wise Eagle, finishing the half length second. They've done exactly the same thing again. He's got his ground conditions, mark of 101 on the evidence of that Chester Cup win last year. Is not beyond him. And I think this is a good opportunity for him that he'll be primed for.
Okay, lovely. Case made. Bettier, 11 to 1. Beautiful. Let's cover Haydock. Three races from Haydock over jumps, of course. And the first of which is the just shy of 2 miles handicap hurdle, where we have Brentford Hope, Dan, for Harry Dearham. 15 to 8 currently, off the back of the Newcastle win when we last saw him. He's a horse who seems to, I don't know if it's the Harry Dearham factor or just the Brentford Hope factor. I don't really know, but I feel like this horse gets a lot of airtime.
Yeah, I know, but it's the quality of his old platform, isn't it? Primarily, I think that's what has drawn loads of people in. Remember the sight of Spencer sitting with his backside in the air as he coasted through from last to first to win one day in the mud, and he's proven now his stamina's under in no doubt over jumps. He has proven that the soft ground that he used to go so well in on the flat really does suit him over jumps as well. It doesn't quite take stamina enough, but I did think. I mean, the Newcastle race off 1-3-5, he went off 11-10, and he was fully entitled to win it. I mean, Horn Cape has been a progressive horse for Ben Haslam and JP, but spent most of his time around lesser tracks, and I almost feel like it was an unnecessary £5 to pick up, and it might have been better served coming straight here. Weird shape to the race from top to bottom. You don't often get a BHA 140 top weight and bottom weights of 114. Three of them out of the handicap to differing degrees. But this place, even if the ground's testing on the hurdles track, I just want to be on the speed. I mean, it's so tight. Rarely you get proper pace collapses unless it's absolutely bottomless, and it's likely to dry out, I'd have thought. And that leads me back to the Churchill Lad, who was so impressive.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did you?
I knew you were going to say that.
Yep. You were spot on, Vanessa. That was testing ground. Thought he did well because he was quite keen. I know nothing took him on for the lead, but he's held his own extremely well. I didn't think when I saw this horse make his hurdling debut at Cartmel back in the summer 22, he won by 24 lengths that day, that we'd be talking about a horse competing in handicaps this quality. But he ran a massive race in the Moor battle from his higher mark. This is less competitive, of course, and I just like the idea of him blasting off again and seeing if the rest can catch him, because I think he'll lead Brentford Hope if they want to. I don't think Brentford Hope suddenly has to force the pace.
Come on, Daryl, agree with us. Let's go all in on the Churchill Lad.
No, I can see the case for him. Absolutely, I can see the case for him. But I like Playful Saint for Dan Skelton. I think this is. I can't imagine that he was mentioned that he goes well fresh, and he was mentioning before in an interview I watched that he had the target for him, and I can't imagine it was a race at Stratford last time after a year off the track. I can imagine that this has been on the agenda for him, and he loves deep ground. I think he'll be ridden a bit more. He was that day at Stratford, but it was a small field. But normally he's held up. I can imagine he'll be ridden a bit more forward here. He'll stay forever. I think he's fairly handicapped on the balance of his form. I think his form is far stronger than what we're looking at in this race. Yeah, I thought he was a very fair price at 4-1 for me. So Playful Saint would be the way.
Just a quick one on that. I mean, we've got obviously Lingfield, Newcastle, loads of intertwining form lines. Three of the horses in this, Playful Saint, Milldam, the Churchill Lad, have all run against each other in recent starts. Churchill Lad is £5 better off from Catterick with Milldam.
Okay. Dan, I will stick with you, please, for the Challenger Stayers Hurdle Series final handicap over 3 miles and half a furlong, an astronomic view for the Sue Gardner team, 7-2, currently the favourite in here, but taking on Shoeshine Boy, creeping up the handicap the whole time at 9-2. Gosh, how posh has the blinkers applied for the first time after the disappointment when we last saw him.
First time I met you, that's what I said.
Is it? Gosh, do you know, it's posh. A common misconception, honestly, it really is. It's the voice. The voice screws me over. I promise you.
I said it the first time I met you, Dan. So you can imagine how unposh I am.
What?
At dinners where Daryl's been there and I've been there, at like Betfair related dinners, Daryl just gets me to like repeat things or say things again and ask me sort of posh people questions, which I don't have the answers to.
Well, but neither of you can pronounce Bath properly, so that's where it begins and ends.
It begins and ends there. Go on. Where does this Challenger Stayers Hurdle Series final begin and end? More and more. Well,
can I draft in the old two dart theory if that's okay?
Yeah, you have two darts. I feel like being a bit tough on you this show, and you.
No, it's we're such good friends. It's fine. Tanganyika has been reinvented as this. I don't know where it's come from. As this blast off staying horse who revels on soft ground. Didn't get to the front in that really competitive Utoxa race, but I think that form will work out extremely well. 17 ran. Gwenny May Boy was really well back for the Skeletons. Made it 2 from 2 since joining the yard. The time before, on bad ground at Newbury, Tanganyika went a distance clear at halfway and basically stayed there, won by 25 lengths. You'd have been worried about him backing it up 2 weeks later, but I thought he ran as if still in good nick for a long way. So I'm keeping him on side just because he's sort of the chaos angle. He could just be 20 lengths clear at halfway. I think he'll see off Balcardi for the lead anyway. But either way, I just think he retains a bit of potential, probably because he might be fragile. We don't see him very often. But Domo Bay shaped well at Cheltenham when he got wiped out around halfway. That's back in November now, and he's only run once since. But that was another fairly encouraging run behind that mare alike. I love the nightlife of the Tizards, who had some strong form at Cheltenham in that Nurse Susan race going back a little further. Seen him only 4 times under rules, retains a bit of ability, a bit of potential, sorry. Don't think we've seen the best of him yet, and proven on soft ground as well. And at Cheltenham, he tracked the pace, even though it was a massive field. So I don't think he'll be too far back either, which again, as I've mentioned, I quite like around here.
Okay, Domore Bay is currently 7-1. With Betfair. Daryl, what about you in here? Do you need a couple of darts too? I'm just giving these away.
I'd rather have no darts, to be honest. I think I've got a strong opinion in this. Dan's made some good cases for those two. I actually backed Darmore Boy last time at Plumpton, and I was really disappointed, to be honest. I thought he was absolutely hosing off a mark with 124, but such a life, he'll probably win here. I thought, gosh, how past fit with the blinkers this time would be interesting. Obviously, ran here behind Slate Lane, Slate Lane and fine margin Crambo earlier in the season. That was a positive run in the context of this race. Went to Wincanton and won with loads in hand. And then again, I backed him at Exeter, and God knows what happened that day. He just never travelled. He must have known.
You backed him, and therein lied the problem, Daryl.
Yeah, I reckon it. Yeah, it must be me. It must be me that is the problem. But I'm hoping he might bounce back. Headgear goes on. Hopefully, he'll get through his races. He can ride in snatches or run in snatches. So hopefully, he'll have a more positive run here. But I do think a mile for 127, sort of in this sort of grade, is workable for him. So I'd probably lean towards Gosshell Post. But again, I've spoken far too long for a tentative selection.
Okay. I will stick with you, Daryl. The last race we're looking at, 3:15 at Haymarket. It's the middle distance veterans handicap chase. It's a class 2, 2 miles, 4 furlongs, and some old favourites in here, as you would expect. Champagne Mystery tops market currently 100-30, but he takes on the likes of Riders on the Storm, 7-2 for Richard Hobson. When's he going to convert off this much reduced handicap mark? In fact, that's actually my question to you, Daryl. When is he going to convert?
I don't know. He's a horse I try to avoid, to be honest. He's quirky, shall we say.
You don't need to say that. We just need to reference his father and that be the end of it. The old scorpion line.
No, he's been a fantastic horse, though, hasn't he, over the year? What Richard Hobbs has done to get him back from the, you know, he went into a bit of a hole, didn't he, after being with Nigel Twiston Davis towards the end of that time, and then he's reinvented him. So he's done well. But I think Champagne Mystery is going to take a world of beating this. I really like him for this. Massive eye-catching run at Cheltenham behind Gar Law on trials day off a mark of 130. Just shaped like he needed the run there coming over from France. And then I thought he ran
fella
really
rode him, didn't he? He'd never ridden at Cheltenham before, had he? And he sent him right around the outside.
Yeah, exactly. And then Kempton, I thought, was all wrong for him. I know a lot of people fancied him that day, but he was entered at Warwick before that in a veteran's handicap and I really fancied him, but I think it was called off. And he's gone to Kempton, sharp right-handed track. I didn't think really suited him. He got outpaced, but he finished with a good flurry there. And it just signaled to me that he is ready to go in. He's been dropped £3 since that Cheltenham run, despite, you know, running improved RPRs, racing post ratings the last twice. He comes back to Haydock. He won't mind heavy ground. He ran behind Dashiell Drasher in a novice chaser years ago. He arrives on the upgrade. Ground's fine, trip's fine, track's much more suitable for him. Yeah, for me, I think he'll take a world of beating there.
Okay, champagne mystery then for Daryl. You look back, as Daryl's mentioned there, about his form and then the back catalogue of the likes of Riders on the Storm. I mean, these horses, bless them, really.
Oh, yeah, just absolutely.
Been around for years, you know, just had a quick flick back there through Riders on the Storm. And, you know, he fell in that Ryanair behind Min that day. I mean, Min, a distant memory.
Yeah,
that
is, I know. Second, you know, to Altier in a Supreme.
Like, just bonkers stuff. I love it. I love
this. Yeah, I know. It is great. I remember the champagne mystery going before that time he ran here behind Dashiell Drasher and Norris Chase. Dashiell Drasher was probably about three then, wasn't he? I mean, it's that long ago. But he was brilliant at Aintree the time before, making the fences look like hurdles. Just so impressive that day. And I agree with Daryl. I think there are far fewer excuses for him today. No conditions, no worry about inexperience of a jockey at the track as there was at Cheltenham. So I'm keeping on site. So it's a wonderfully chaotic race. Can Numitor shape really well at Exeter, but 11 days is a really quick turnaround given how bad the ground's been there lately. That would worry me for definite. Rides on the Storm, you just don't know which one will turn up, of course. At much bigger prices, and his jumping's always a worry, particularly over fences like these. I can see a case for Dubai Days just because he'll sit out of the strong pace, handles the mud well, and this is more his trip, as he showed when finally back in the winner's enclosure the other day. So I'm taking two against the field again. Champagne Mystery and Dubai Days.
Beautiful. You've used the word chaotic as an adjective to describe a couple of races today, Dan. And
yeah, chaos. That's a chaos theory.
I don't know if you've like read a dictionary or something and it's like a new word for you, but
no.
I love it. It's like, it's not insulting, but it really sums up some of these races. Brilliant.
I know.
Chaotic.
I'm tracking you down after, I know you love a team and an operation when describing a trainer. So I'm hoping to one day surpass you.
Oh, I do.
I love the operation.
I love the operation. I do love the operation. I love a chaotic operation.
What, this podcast?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, we've looped back around. Right, what fun. Okay, naps times. Naps. Daryl, I think your nap is Metier.
Oh, it's torn between Metier and Champagne Mystery. I'll let you pick.
Well, for somebody who had what, 16 races you had selections in, I was very close there.
Yeah, you were very close. I'll tell you what, just to prove you wrong, I'm going to go for Champagne Mystery at Haydock.
Nice. Proper friend, that. Love it. Dan, I have no idea. You've not been off a yard today, so I don't really know what.
Yeah, just the 12 races. I was keen on something. I was tempted by 9/10 at Newcastle, but I'm going to stick to what I know slightly better and go with the Churchill Lad, 205 at Haydock.
Yes, very much here for this, Dan. And here for you as well. Adore you, Dan. Adore you, Daryl.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Yeah, no worries, everyone. Right, that wraps up the show. Have a good Easter, boys. Enjoy. Proper hot bank holiday this, isn't it? Love it. Don't forget, listeners and viewers out there, loads of extra place races, all those Lingfield races and nearly all the Newcastle races as well, bar a couple have extra places up there. But whatever you're doing, whether it's with the offers that will be available to you on your carousel, you can go check them out. But do read the T's and C's for any offers you want to partake in. But also do it all responsibly, as I said at the top of the show, and I genuinely mean it. Have fun with it this weekend, but do it responsibly, please. And join us again on Monday when we will be back with Wade in to discuss all the weekend's action and more. But for now, happy Easter, everyone.